You are listening to Find Your Flow in MoCo, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hey everyone, welcome to Find Your Flow in MoCo, and I'm your host, Danielle Gibson. We are going to have a very exciting and creative episode today. Our guest is so talented. She's an artist who has a studio and is featured on our MoCo Art Trail, and her name is Deanne Mealy. Thank you so much for coming and talking with us today, Deanne.
Thanks, Danielle. I appreciate you all inviting me, and I'm excited to talk about art today.
So first, we have to jump into our favorite segment, the cheese straw segment. So how would you explain a cheese straw to somebody who's never had it before?
Well, the first thing that came to mind when I was told that this might come up today was, why a cheese straw? Why is it called a straw? But once you get past that, I would describe it as being a tasty, savory snack, sort of like shortbread meets cracker in a real cheesy way, if you will.
That is true. Why is it named a cheese straw?
Mm-hmm. Things that make you think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for describing a cheese straw to us. And everyone describes it so differently. So now we're going to move into all things about you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm about to have a significant birthday, a benchmark that has a zero, and we won't talk about how large the number is in front of it in just a couple weeks. And other than that, I am a professional artist, and as you've already discussed, I own my own gallery and studio here in downtown Decatur in the historic district, and I really enjoy being downtown. I live in the historic district. I work in the historic district. I meet lots of people in and out of the historic district. So it just seems like the right place to be to welcome a lot of people. And I love to travel. And my traveling through the U.S. has kind of been limited to wherever the U.S. Army has sent us in my married life. But I enjoy shooting my own photos for source photos for my artwork. And there is, let's just say, as I'm about to cross that major birthday, there are a lot of things on places to go and see on my bucket list. So I anticipate having to hang my sign up that says I'll be back next week or next month, often in the next 20 years.
Or whenever I return.
Or whenever, yes.
Yeah. I love that. So let's talk about your story behind your choice of Decatur as the location for your studio and gallery, and what drew you to this particular area that your studio is located in.
Well, as I mentioned, I am married to a career, and when I say career, I mean lifelong Army spouse. He did almost 30 years in the Army and has almost done 20 years as a government civilian. So
thank you for your service.
Anyway, when we came to Huntsville, we were being stationed here from Arizona of all places. So a complete, they both states begin with the letter A. And anyway, we came on a 10-day house hunting trip, and we visited every corner of northern Alabama, everywhere from like Hampton Cove to Madison to Athens, and we landed in Decatur. And when we were looking for a house the last few days here, it seemed right. And like I said, I just have a passion for the historical area, and that had that offer. And of course, it's real convenient to get on 565 to get to Redstone for my husband. I won't say that it moves quickly, but we can get there. And I don't have to leave. I'm downtown. So yeah. So
you're like, that's
what brought us here.
Not mine.
And and I might add that it had a very art vibe to it that comes in with the historical aspects of the architecture, and the people I met while we were here just seemed very welcoming. It just seemed like I'd fit in. So hopefully everyone I've met agrees so far in the last 8 years.
So you just celebrated your 6th anniversary. Is that right?
Yes. My business in the location it's in at 708 and a half. And yes, it is a half on my deed on Bank Street. I've been in that location for 6 years. It's kind of funny. It would be really cool if it was 9 3/4, but that has a whole different reference.
I'm here for it.
I'm off, I'm completely off topic, so, but it was an alleyway that was closed in 1910, 1912, according to our research at the archives. And I did some restoration. A lot of restoration had been done before I bought the building. And so I just crossed 6 years, and it's fun. It's just as wide as an alleyway. So I always tease everyone that I, you know, if this art gig didn't work out, that I'd have a single lane bowling alley or something, but it's my she shed. And I have lots of people come and visit me at my she shed. And yeah, so it's perfect. And found the original wood floors, the original tin ceiling. So yeah, all of that goes hand in hand with all my passions. So yeah.
Yeah. 6 years. You have a lot of things in your store, right? So you have art and classes and supplies. And so how do you balance all of the things?
Correct. Yes. Well, carefully, the furniture's on sliders. So, you know, it's 10 feet wide, right? So, no, but the front area I've dedicated to gallery space. My artwork is, of course, featured. I have had students' artwork hanging in a certain area before when I have larger classes or just more students who are interested in that. I also represent a local professional photographer. And then in the back area of the initial, people who have been there know, but I have, I only teach a maximum of 4 students at a time in my classes. That way they're able to get individual time. And I have art supplies. I carry Heritage Multimedia Acrylic. It's a pure pigment acrylic, a fine art paint, but I don't have any, nothing wrong with any of the other mediums, but I don't paint or teach or carry oil just because I eliminated any risk of toxicity. And then I have on the wall brushes. It's a creative use of space. So I'm a frame hoarder. It goes with, comes in with the art. And I have canvases. And I basically, some of these things, especially canvases and canvas boards and all, I have as a convenience for my students so they don't have to run all over the place. They can just come down and I have what they need. Or if they're like, you know, hey, I really want to paint a larger piece. I have it. I have canvases, and, you know, so yeah. And they seem to multiply. So, but it's kind of neat. It's fun. I keep you have creative use of space, Danielle. That's the key to when you own a 10-foot wide space, but it's gorgeous and it's mine. So
I love that.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, how did you get into art and how has your approach to art evolved over the years?
I initially started, it's probably, if I say this, we'll know exactly what year birthday I'm talking about today. I was probably in my mid-20s, and believe it or not, I was working in television news, and a lady had a shop, a studio in Waco, Texas, that offered decorative art classes. And decorative art, although a lot of people look at it and say, well, that's not really fine art, well, decorative art is like a stepping stone or a step-off point. Toll painting was tinware initially, which just meant that you painted on tinware way back, you know, whenever that was, a long, long time ago. And so I started with decorative art, and I really enjoyed it. And I met my husband and moved a lot. And, you know, when you have your own skills and your own business, you can move that with you, which is super convenient being a military spouse. And I'm done moving though, so no one get excited. The building will not be for sale anytime soon. I have a friend and a mentor who is in the business, and he in the middle of Nebraska has a fine arts center, and I've known him like 30 something years, and we travel, he and we have a colleague in Taiwan and Japan, and we'll travel together, we'll teach foreign students will come in as well, and we teach them at his art center, and we travel and paint over in the Tetons and different things. So I started really getting more interested in more a fine art approach to what used to be my decorative art. And I changed everything, what brushes I use, not painting on wood and tin, but switched over to canvas using long-handled brushes. I mean, I'm a student still, and I believe that you always have to be a student or your art is going to become stagnant. And how boring would that be to paint the same way at the same level for the rest of your life, because we know I'm going to haunt this place for another 60 years or so. So, yeah, but, you know, and it just kind of evolved and I love it. I have a passion for what I do and I have a passion for all the people I meet, all of my clients, all my students. I really enjoy it. There's just a lot to it. So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Good.
So my next question is, obviously, there's a very creative process that goes behind this, and I'm sure that, like, you have key sources of inspiration that kind of fuel your inspiration of your art, and can you tell us what those might be?
Oh, absolutely. So, of course, most fine artists will tell you that you look to the masters. And if you're an artist of any level and you have not looked back to the masters, you should. There's so much to learn. Even though they painted mostly in oil, you know, depending on, like, if you're looking at John Singer Sargent, Thomas Moran, Albert Bierstadt, those are Carl Rungius is the father of American wildlife painting, even though he was a German-American. And, you know, of course, they painted in oil, but the oil techniques and all cross over into what I do. You're not really studying the paint they used. You're studying the technique and how they took what they saw and recorded it for us in modern times to look at it and first of all go, wow, how do you do that? And second of all, to look at it and go, you know, how do I emulate? How can I record in such a artistic manner that's going to survive for many generations? So years from now, 100 years from now, will they look back and go, wow, what's that? Oh, Deanne, who? Now, how did she create that with acrylic? That was definitely to use acrylics. It takes that wouldn't have been something you would have thought of 100 years ago. And now I'm using an acrylic like an oil paint and I'm thickening it and controlling the open and drying time and all these things. And so, you know, those are my inspirations is the masters. And then also, how could you not be inspired living here near Wheeler Wildlife and the Tennessee River? I enjoy painting, you know, landscapes and then wildlife. I have a passion for birds of prey and affinity for them. And I go out, not just the eagles out at Wheeler, but go over to Guntersville. I mean, we're just in a great location for, you know, all things art. You just have to take the time to stop and see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
Thanks.
We do have a lot of birds. Yes.
Yes, we do.
I came here, I didn't realize like the birding community was such a vast thing. So I have learned a lot about birding and Wheeler National Wildlife Refuge. And we have so many incredible assets here. So
absolutely.
Tell me, like, so you're here to stay. So where do you envision yourself heading with art in the future? And are there any new directions or projects you're particularly excited about?
Yes. Well, I would, of course, most fine artists, I would love to not literally hang, but my artwork hang in a prominent gallery sometime. That would be, while I'm still alive, especially, that would be quite an honor. usually, you know, oh, when you're There's gone, that. Your artwork's great. You know, my daughter would enjoy that, right? Yes. Yeah. But I also, I have a YouTube channel that I started a few years ago. I haven't worked. As a one-woman show, you're like, oh, my sales tax is due. Oh, I have classes. Oops, I got a commission. Oh, I got a – so it's hard to remember to do it. Oh, yeah, update your website, you know, and join Danielle for a podcast. Yay. Yeah.
So, well, you showed up, so that's good.
Yes.
Mark that off the list.
but I would like a larger online presence because, you know, we are in a time where even though I'm in Decatur, Alabama, I reach a lot of people outside of Alabama, outside of Decatur. I have connections and art communities outside of here. That would really be great to bring some of those connections into Decatur, even if it was for a collaborative effort to share with others in the community and the art community in Decatur and beyond. And I also have started working more in plein air, which means you're painting out on location in the air, so to speak, is where it comes from. I have complete setup. So my goal soon is to maybe take students out and we all paint, not really, well, teach and share, but also just let them experience it because there is just so much to see. And I really feel like art is for everyone. There's something in art for everyone. And whether it is that you're painting Whether you want to just paint a project at a paint party, great, you know, enjoy that. Or you want to have paint classes where you're teaching learning techniques and all the aspects of art that come together to create, you know, so-called masterpieces. Whether you collect art, whether you just want to view art, maybe you're into photography, that's an art. Maybe you're an archaeologist, you love architecture, there's an art. Landscaping, there's an art. Culinary arts, I mean, art is everywhere. And presentation and all, color crosses over between all of us. I mean, landscaping, I'm like, you know, if we're going to use pink roses over here, we need pink camellia so we can move the color. You know, so yeah, that, you know, interior design, they use the same rules of art and color that I use when I'm creating a painting. So I also have started painting live event painting. I actually did my first live event painting at a wedding down in Southern Alabama over the weekend. So I just returned from that. Cool. So that was really great. Plein air painting has prepared me for that. So everything goes hand in hand. So I would just like to, you know, push forward. I would love for 10 years from now, we're having this conversation like, yay, you've made it 16 years. And yeah.
And your art's in a gallery. And
my art's in a gallery and I'm still alive. Yes. And what birthday's coming up? Don't talk about it.
Yeah. That doesn't even matter.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So the arts community we've always been an arts community, but I mean, I really feel like it's continuing to grow and gain so much support in Decatur. So how have you experienced being a part of the positive momentum?
Well, I've been juried into River Clay a few times. That was really exciting. I'm really happy for that entire effort that an arts show, a festival has caught on, not just here locally, but in the region and in the state. That's a tremendous, congratulate everyone who's put forth that effort. What I'd like to see is maybe somehow the arts community here have come together in a more collaborative effort in the exchange of ideas, because I find that if you own a business or you're trying to make it, of course, you're always struggling or trying to figure out how you're going to, you know, pay the light bill or keep your studio open, or, you know, it's always the bottom line. And that dollar can get in the way sometimes of, it can stifle your creativity. And I think not really competing against each other or the artist or the different aspects like architecture, all those things I named off, but coming together collaboratively to exchange ideas and fuel and feed each other, because you need like-minded people to exchange ideas with, or everything becomes kind of stagnant if you're only worried about, you know, how you're going to keep the lights on. So I don't know what the answer to that is. So if any of your audience out there has some ideas, I'd be excited to discuss it with you and be a part of it. But we all bring something different to the table. I mean, I've lived in a lot of different parts of the country. I've probably traveled to different places than other people may have, and they may have ideas for what else I need to add to my bucket list. But I think all of those, there's visions that we can bring together and share with the community in different ways. One thing I'd really love in the future is maybe have a paint out where you invite other artists from wherever, you know, the whole state, the region, eventually, and you go out and they call it a wet paint sale. You go out and you have time and you paint on location in and around the community. And then all of that art at a certain time is brought in someplace and sold. So I thought that would be kind of a neat, it's a big movement in the plein air community. And we don't do that here. So that would be something to kind of figure out how we could pull that together. And it would bring more people in, like-minded people in, to kind of see what Decatur has to offer in the arts area that maybe have no idea, because I wouldn't have known before I visited here.
That is so good.
Thanks. Yeah.
We had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling her I wanted to be a fashion designer, like way back when, like high school. And I used to like draw dresses and stuff. And I was like, I don't know if they were very good, but I don't really do that anymore. And she was like, well, why not? And I'm like, I don't know. Cause I think there's really art for everyone. So can you kind of elaborate, like, how with your students and things like that, like, how do you draw out that creativity and keep them inspired?
Well, first of all, I was talking about, there's different types of students. There are students who want to, I call it disco painting. I learned that term from, I'm sure I stole it from someone along my journey, but that's where you say, this goes here, this goes there, and you mix the color and you just tell them how to do it. And there's a place for that because you start seeing it and doing it, but that maybe that's all they want to do. Okay. So, and that still is an art and it exposes them to that. Then there are the students who want to come and listen to me talk while they're trying to paint with copious amounts of caffeine, might I add, that I'm explaining to them not just the techniques. We sneak up on techniques. We sneak up on, you know, different genre. Say someone kind of, my teens are the best. I just love my teen classes I teach. And I have a couple of teens who have been with me for a couple of years. And they're like, I guess I want to paint flowers. I'm like, why do you guess? Well, you said flowers would be a benefit. And I'm like, yes, flowers will benefit your landscapes. Landscapes will benefit your flowers. Landscapes help your architectural pieces. So those types of students are in a little more, call it for the long haul. They know that everything they're doing, they have to trust the process. It all builds on each other. Now, I do get students who'll come in and they hope that every day they leave with a finished piece. With that mindset, every week you can leave with a finished piece, but that doesn't mean that you're going to grow as much as an artist if you didn't stop and take the time to enjoy and understand the process of how you got from that blank canvas to that finished piece. Sometimes that can't be accomplished in 1 week, 2 weeks. Sometimes it's four, you know, or whatever. So anyway, so there's different types of art. We have such a large art community of a plethora of instructors as well, which I was like surprised, which is great for a city our size to have that to offer, a community our size. And so everyone I've met that teaches has a different approach. And, you know, I'll have students come in, they get their first class for free because they may not jive with my way of teaching. They may want something different or have a different expectation, which was totally cool with me, you know, so let's try to find someone who will meet your needs, you know, or what you're expecting. And usually they'll go somewhere and they'll come back to me for a little bit and then go back, you know, because don't limit yourself. I'm not challenged by that at all. I'm like, you learn more about yourself and your art and where you want to go with it by taking from as many people and different styles as you possibly can. Experiences matters greatly in this such a journey. You know, so I don't know if I even answered your question.
You did. You absolutely okay, awesome. Did. So we're going to move now into our Did You Know segment. And in this segment, we ask our guests one last question before they leave. So we've asked Deanne to share a fun, cool, and interesting fact about herself that you probably have never heard of before. So did you know?
Did you know that as a youngster, all the way through high school, I was a competitive baton twirler? I know, it's crazy. I twirled all through my youth. I was ranked third nationally in two baton, baton solo, and I forget something else. Yes, I twirled fire. Yes, I did knives, hoop, flag. I had a judge's license for a while. Yes, I had a judging license for a while. That was my side gig when I was working in television and stuff. So, yeah, that's one of those. I bet you didn't know that.
And I did not.
Yeah. I still have batons. I'm not sure my old fingers can handle everything running through, but yeah, without bruising. But hey, Danielle, can I digress one quick
sure.
thing I'd love to leave your audience with as well is when I'm talking art, art for everyone, I just want to say one thing about it. Art teaches you to see. So when you're out there in the world, even if you're not an artist, I notice so many people in today's society, we're looking at our phones, I'm guilty. We look at our computers, I'm guilty. But you don't take the time we have beautiful sunsets, but I'm sorry, people, there are beautiful sunrises here as well. And they they're at the opposite end of the, you know, the spectrum on night and day. You have to get up kind of early and, you know, take time to like see the rain on the pavement, that ice storm we had, the colors of purple and blue that were in the snow. Snow's not white, and we're not talking about yellow snow. Okay, get your mind out of that. I'm just saying, take the time to see, you know, take the time to go out to Wheeler and just listen. Just be real quiet and listen. Take the time to sit on your front porch and listen. Listen, see. And then if you want to try to capture that feeling of that cold, cold feeling during that ice storm on canvas, you're going to paint purple snow, blue snow. The wet sand on the beach is not white. It is lavender and deep red violets and things. So take the time to notice that. And I think you'll enjoy your life a lot better.
Hmm. There are so many pretty sunsets here. Sometimes
there really are. It's beautiful.
Oh, so good.
Oh, it's crazy. Well, and the sun rises too, Danielle. I'll meet you out there with a cup of coffee.
It does rise. I'm so sorry. I'm just usually not up early enough.
I figured, yes. Me, it's hard.
So thank you so much for coming on with us today. And we need to keep up with you. So where can we find you?
I have a website. It is deannesartstudio.com. I have Facebook, social media. I'm very active there. Usually my Instagram has the most up-to-date with paintings I'm working on, what's happening in the studio, where I'm traveling to, what my students are doing. We put pictures up there as well. And so my Instagram is deannes_art_gallery_studio. And then my Facebook is, of course, facebook.com/deannesartstudio.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for coming on and inspiring us about art and seeing what's around us. I absolutely love that. So
my pleasure.
Absolutely. So you can find us at Visit Decatur AL on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, or visit our website at visitdecatural.org. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. This has been Find Your Flow in MoCo. This has been another episode of Find Your Flow MoCo, hosted by Danielle Gibson and produced by Relic.